David Benoit. Ah, yes. No, that's not David Benoit. That was the Yellow Jackets. I don't know why I said that. Yes, I do. Because I got David Benoit geared up for the next song. Yeah, it's almost over. The Yellow Jackets. Taken from one of my favorite albums. It's called Smooth Jazz. It came out, Smooth Jazz Volume 1. Came out a number of years ago. Got a lot of nice people on this cut. Ronnie Laws, Stanley Jordan, Foreplay, Bob James, Yellow Jackets, Rodney Franklin, man, David Sanborn, a lot of people. And the Yellow Jackets has two, and they even have an Earl Clue number here entitled Twinkle. I kind of like that, so I may be playing more of that. Hey, listen, how you guys doing? Living through the pandemic, huh? Living through the pandemic. I'm telling you, I'm all alone here on Harcourt right now and enjoying my life. I had a nice cup of mocha coffee and a croissant with a little butter spread up on the top, toasted in the little toaster oven. And that's all I had an appetite for, doing a little exercise. It's a perfect weather for me to get out in the backyard, in the garden, and start working. But I wanted to take it easy. And I thought that I'd do a webcast today called Loving Your Brother, because that's what we need to do. We need to focus upon how we can love our brothers. Now, I am going to quote from the book that I study from, that I read from, and I understand this book, and I understand it. I am using the term love not in a lustful way. I'm not meaning love sexually, but I am meaning love emotionally, physically at times. And I'm going to quote from two scriptures, and I'm going to quote, this is very controversial because I think that, I don't think that in all the years that I've ever done a webcast that I've ever handled these two scriptures together as a webcast, or have I ever addressed these two particular scriptures when I was a pulpiteer, when I was pastoring behind the pulpit. I never used these two scriptures because it raised tremendous controversy within the established church, especially the African-American church. So if I have some listeners out there that are yet listening to me and paying attention to my, how can I say it? To my I don't know how to say it. to my interpretation, and it's not just my interpretation, it's the only interpretation of these scriptures. Why is it so difficult for us to get along with each other, black men and white men? I look at, you know, when I look at the news and I see all the stuff going on in Portland and in Wisconsin, and now I understand today, or was that yesterday, various gangs in Chicago has put out a vendetta that if they see any policeman drawing his gun on a citizen in Chicago, that these 30 gangs will draw their guns on the police. Man, you're talking about protecting your community. That is some protecting. Because we can't have arbitrarily the police powers pulling guns on people and arbitrarily shooting them. Unfortunately, that's what we see in our society. And you know what? Let me make this perfectly clear, because I was having a conversation with a man, And he said that he thought that I was hypocritical because he says that he couldn't read me. He says, sometimes, he said, you were coming across as a man that is for the cause on the left. And I don't know how he ever saw that. I said, no, I've always been a very independent thinker. I have some very liberal views. I believe that not a child should go unfed in our society, whether they be a citizen or not. I think that every person should be given some kind of shelter over their heads, a clean toilet and bathroom facilities, fresh water to drink. I think that this should be a personal right. I think that everyone should have access to some kind of medical care whenever fate befalls them in a bad way. I really believe that. We're going to hear a little David Benoit in a little bit, and it's a number that I like to hear him play. And I hope that you like it. For some reason I can't find it. But yeah, here it is right here. Here it is. There's a number that I want to play, and it's not Cast Your Fate to the Wind. I don't want to play that one. I want to play a number called Freedom at Midnight. I love this. I used to love getting in my convertible Lexus, that silver bullet that I used to own that I had to get rid of because I couldn't afford to keep it serviced. Gee, if I was still making money, I'd still be driving that car today. But it's just a little bit too expensive to keep going. Driving a high-powered super sports car in Los Angeles is expensive. And unfortunately, the income coming in didn't match the income going out when you got a house and bills and everything else. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So you know what I did a little over 5 years ago? I traded that big super sports car in and got a little bitty Mini Cooper. And after 5 years, I paid it off, got the pink on it. It's still running good. I haven't put gas in the car in almost 2 months. And I've been getting around L.A. zibbity-doo-dah. Enjoying myself. So, you know, there are some benefits of making the right kind of decisions. And there's some benefits in me telling you that we need to look out on the horizon and see how we are to love. Now, there are two brothers in the Bible whose families and whose cultures clashed with each other. And in the midst of these clashing cultures, these two men developed a bond between them that was so unique. And I've always loved this particular story found in my scripture because it depicts what I want with every man that I meet. Now, it's difficult because men only think that they can have close intimacies, and I'm going to use that word freely because I know what intimacy means. Unfortunately, many of us are raised in households where we haven't seen much intimacy, especially intimacy between the man and the woman. If you are raised in a household primarily by that sister because the man has been driven out of the house because of this or because of that, maybe he was beating up on somebody. Maybe something happened in his life where he had to be removed from the household and so that mama could get the food stamps and everything like that. Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you didn't see intimacy between your parents, or if you did not see intimacy from the parent to your other siblings or yourself, well, then you have no idea what I'm talking about. But back in the day, even before the Bible days, now look, don't get me wrong. There has always been wicked and evil men. There's always been bad, the bad. And so let's just keep that where it should be. There has always been the bad people. The bad people have been out there influencing us all the days of our lives. And so I don't have a problem with the bad. I have a problem when the good refuses to do the good naturally. You know, Bozeman, the 42-year-old actor that died of intestinal cancer a few days ago, I'm reading some of the reports in the news, and his co-star that acted with him, a black man, that's what made me go to these Bible verses, because he loved Bozeman. He loved him. It wasn't a sexual love, but it was intimacy. And the stories are coming out about how Bozeman would go to Chicago and go to a meet where there's only 50 people meeting in a playhouse. And he would encourage the young actors. And that's a wonderful thing, because one thing about Bozeman, he was not the kind of individual that was selfishly inclined. You can look at a lot of actors and a lot of so-called quote-unquote famous people, and you can see them correspondingly giving their vibes out. But Bozeman always gave his vibes out to, he loved people around him. He had this intimate contact. And it caused me to go to my Bible and to think about it. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read two scriptures to you. And they're from the Old Testament, and it's a love story about two men, David and Jonathan. Yeah, I'm going to go there. This is one of my favorite texts, and you know, I'll tell you why I haven't gone there in the past, because a lot of people know me. And they know that I speak freely about who I am and how I've always been and how I always will be. I was speaking with my daughter, and we were having a disagreement on a certain thing. And she just came out and told me, "Daddy, you're blankety, blankety, blank." She was absolutely correct. Because who I am forges and forces me to make statements that only revealed who I am. Now, the reason that I put up these webcasts, and I've been 20 minutes into this, and I haven't said anything yet, is because I want you to get into the habit of doing this for yourselves. Do the research for yourselves. Discover the meaning of any text for yourself. And don't allow any group, I've been saying it for the past few days, and I've been saying it for a while, don't allow any group, any denomination, any church, any kind of organization develop your thesis for you. Know your thesis for yourself and be able to identify, to back up, and to characterize who you are, especially during these very difficult times. I am pleased with the people that I have around me, close to me now, that I know loves me because of the advice that they give me and what I do in order to stay well and to stay mentally prepared to deal with this situation as it confronts me. And I want you to be just as strong as I am. Now, can a man be very close friends with another man and love him on a level that is beyond understanding? And I think that that's what we have to do. Now, what I want to do is I want to read from you, first of all, from 2 Samuel, that's in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 1, and I want to start at verse 25 to verse 27. Now, I want you to get your Bibles if you have it, and I would like you to turn to that with me. And we want to take a little time on this Wednesday morning, and we want to look at that. Now, whatever time you're listening to this webcast, God bless you. I hope that you believe that I am intentionally bringing you this webcast with a serious intent, with a very serious intent. There we go. That's a lot better. I'm just adjusting my volume because I don't want to be accused of not telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth here. Now, I'm going to start reading the verses. This is from 2 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. And it reads as thus: How have the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Now, you have to ask yourself this question. Who is the writer? Of course, the writer is David. And who is the mighty that has fallen in battle? And that would be Jonathan, the son of Saul, which was the king of Israel. If you know the story well, Saul had a lot of people in his court that did not like his son. His son, Jonathan, had these long dreadlocks, and he would take his men of valor and he would fight against his daddy's men. He was kind of like a rebel. And a lot of people in Saul's kingdom thought that Jonathan should have been taken out. But while Jonathan was next in the line to the throne of King Saul, he befriended David, one of the sons of a shepherd. And so we see David lamenting the death of his friend Jonathan. How hath the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Jonathan is slain on your high places. Now, in other words, Jonathan was riding his horse, the Bible says, through the woods, running from the people that were trying to kill him, because he would have his band of soldiers and he would attack his daddy's band of soldiers and try to overthrow them, try to bring about some improvement in the kingdom of Saul. And the way the story goes, he was riding madly through the countryside, and his dreadlocks were flying in the air, and they got caught up in a limb of a tree, and Jonathan was snatched off the horse by his dreads in the tree limbs, and it broke his neck as it flung him from the horse, and the enemy saw that. Now, this is what David writes in verse 26. He says, I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was more wonderful than the love of women. How have the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished. Now, that's not controversial at all to me. These verses are not, especially the verse that says, your love is very pleasant to me. In other words, he says, you're gone now, but I miss your love. When you think of Bozeman's passing and the other, I forget his name, black actor that played with him in the Black Panther, I hear he's suffering tremendously, like many people are the new Bozeman. A few people will suffer when I die because I'm a very controversial guy and I don't make people happy. As a preacher of God, I knew that when he called me to preach, I'd never be a popular fellow because I'm going to tell Jah's truth and not man's truth. I believe these verses justify me and my very intimate relationship and my love for the male species. I just love men, the way they do things. I think that if a man, listen, where did all this start anyhow? Well, you have to go to another scripture, and that's 1 Samuel. See, because that was in 2 Samuel chapter 1. Now you have to go to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. I want you to look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. Now listen to the story, and then you will gain where all of this began. Now it came about that when he had finished speaking to Saul, that the son of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. In other words, David was speaking with King Saul there in the royal palace. Jonathan was beholding David speaking with Saul. And you know, Saul was kind of crazy. Saul wanted to get rid of David because David had this way about him, the love of God was shrouding all through this young man. And another young man, the king's son, saw David speaking with Saul, and the soul of Jonathan, in verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 18 says, was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. Now, this is so beautiful. Have you ever loved a male friend like you would yourself? I have many occasion. And look, and Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. In other words, Saul saw that his son had found a lifelong friend and that David's presence had made Jonathan live. And so he took David to stay in the palace with him. Now look at this. This is in your Bible. You can read it yourself. You know, and that's why, you know, this so-called church stuff that got, brother, you're too close to the brothers. No, you can't get close enough. That's why all this mess has gone on in our country right now. You don't know the book. And then if you do know the book, you refuse to love in this manner. Now check it out. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Now, I want you to think about that. Wait a minute. After Saul takes David to live in the palace with him, Jonathan's love grows greater for David. So he made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Now, let's take this covenant deeper because we're reading in our Bibles. I'm just not reading in mine. You also reading in yours, right? Okay. Look at verse 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him. In other words, he took off this robe and gave it to David. With his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. So we see that Jonathan stripped down to his loins. I mean, I'm not sure about the underclothing they had on. It didn't make no difference whether they had underclothing on. He took everything off, everything that he had, and he gave it to David. Now, you know what? You can be a theologue and you can put, now this is where the white evangelicals went crazy because they couldn't handle it. And so they said, well, this just means that he probably felt sorry for the little shepherd boy and was trying to give him. No. Jonathan was in line to the throne of Israel. He was going to be ordained the next year. He was the son of the king of Israel. And he takes off all his clothes, all his armor, all his shield, all the stuff that he had on him of earthly possession, and gives it to David. Now, wait a minute. Look at verse 5. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and prospered. In other words, Saul sent him as an ambassador of the king, and after everything David put his hand to, prospered. And Saul set him over the men of war, and it was pleasing in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now, I want to share something with you. These men were close. These men were very close. And they were both about the same age. One was to inherit the throne of Israel, and the other one was a shepherd boy whom the prophet went and ordained as a king of Israel. Jonathan knew that. Jonathan didn't fight him. Jonathan let him be the king. But Jonathan was a rebellious kind of a fella, kind of like me, I guess, thought on his own. And in thinking on his own, he developed a certain intimacy with David. Thus, they were friends for the rest of their days, and God prospered them. Now, this would solve all of our problems of gang warfare in the streets. Look at the good parts that every man can offer you. Don't look at the negative parts. Look at the good parts that you can gain from that man. Respect that man's life. Dignify the relationship between you two as men. For those of you men that are still listening to me, that used to study under me, that used to go to manly retreats, and you know that I love you guys. You know that. Matter of fact, I still love you. I just got to stay away from you because you haven't gotten the love on how to love one another. You're still making the same. And let me tell you what the problem of a cop is today. Because when you look at a policeman, he's very easy to adapt to this David and Jonathan kind of a thing. Because, you know, your partner's got to be in the car with you. And your partner's in the car with you, and your partner... And I know a little bit about that because I worked 17 years in a civilian capacity in and around the LAPD, the Los Angeles Police Department, as a civilian. And I used to get dressed in the same locker room that they dressed in. Any of them have history of me, they know that I had a history of working with the LAPD. I don't have any bones about that. I enjoyed it. I loved it. Even though I was not a part of the Corps, Captain Grassley, he used to be the captain of supply division, told me that if I signed up to be a cop, that he would put in a good word for me and I'd move up the ranks quickly. I recall mentioning that to my wife when I was a young man, and my wife said, "Nope, I don't want a husband to be a cop." She said, "You can be a civilian in that department doing whatever you want to do, but no, I don't want you as a cop," because she knew how dearly I'd love men. And I protect my partner, but I wouldn't protect a partner that is going to go against the laws of God. See, she knew that. And she knew that I would never get along in that level. Thank God for giving me a woman that I could listen to. But it would have been very easy for me to adopt this more than the love of a woman, because when you, I have never had the love of a woman. Don't get me wrong, I love my wife. And thank God I never ran into a situation in my life where I had to defend my wife's honor. Now, I didn't mean, listen to me now. For those of you that are young, and get, if your wife goes out there and finds somebody that she wants to lie with and be with, you don't defend that honor against anybody. He didn't do nothing to her. She did that. Let her live her life. Just get rid of her. Take care of your child if you have a child and attempt to go on with your life. But don't throw your male friendships away. Don't listen to the naysayers. Develop your own thesis and know why you put her away. And vice versa, ladies, if you got a no good man, the same thing. Put him away. I have on this website a marriage counseling page to the top left corner. And I have over 20 hours of post and pre-marriage counseling to show you how to live with each other as husband and wife. And that's if you truly love each other. And all of it is biblically based. I'm still waiting on someone to come against one of the things that I've said though so many years ago. You can't, because I answer it all. I tell people, if you're going to get married and if you want to know how it's supposed to work between a man and a woman, listen to my marriage counseling page. And before you leave this life, I've given you over 20 hours to deal with that. And you figure out which is going to keep you happy. I took the counter off of that page because I don't want to know how many people have gone to it. When I die and go to glory, I'll let God let me know who I've influenced. I was greatly blessed. This last Sunday, I think I spoke about it, and I want to speak about it again because it really gave me tremendous encouragement to want to live, to want to continue to do what I'm doing. I tuned into Emmanuel Baptist Church's live Facebook, and Pastor John Reamer Jr., one of my students back in the day, was speaking. And his introduction to his outline was excellent. The way he presented the scripture and gave its correct interpretation and then the applicational connections, excellent. I recall grading his papers. I recall him in the classroom. John would always sit in the back of the classroom. He never was that talkative person that had something to say. We had a guy in the classroom that used to chatter all the time and try to challenge me. Well, what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And John would look at me, and I would never down the guy. I just said, keep studying. and it may come upon you. Well, it never came upon him. He never got it. This particular guy, and I'm telling you, I love that guy, but he did not have the capacity to desire to believe what I was saying to the degree that it changed him. Well, it changed John Reamer Jr. See, now John didn't have to come to my classroom because his father was a pastor, and his father's background and his family, pastors all throughout that family. Just a good Baptist background, solid, nice church relations, just like in any African-American community. And John commended me and he thanked me because I thanked him on my Facebook page for the great job that he's doing his preaching. It actually gave me goosebumps. I loved him. I said, oh my God, I love this guy. Not because he sounded like me, because he was telling the truth. I loved that man. I loved him. I just wanted to hold him, be close to him. If y'all don't know what I'm talking about, you have no idea what this intimacy is between Jonathan and David. God doesn't disable, he enables us to have those kinds of feelings for one another, deeply, emotionally, psychologically. And when we find ourselves thinking as such, we not only find ourselves getting better, but we want to meet more people like that. There's 24-year-old that I know. This man, I've watched him grow up, literally. I watched a number of young men grow up from the black community. I mean, people that you would never think that would get anywhere. I got two of them in mind. One is going to be a fine musician because he's doing what he's supposed to do, spending time in the vocal community, in the harmonious community, spending time. And he said, John, I'm tired of doing stupid things where I'm not promoting myself and getting ahead like a man ought to do. Now, that blessed my heart because that person is thinking seriously about himself. There's another young man. I recall meeting him when he was about 20 years old. And now he's about 31, 32 years old. So that's 12 years ago. And I remember because when he was so down and out and his birthday was coming up and he had no means of getting ahead. And I was on the way from teaching a class at the college and he called me and he said, what are you doing today? And I said, nothing on the way home to have lunch somewhere. And he said, stop by and pick me up. And I picked him up and he said, you know, it's my birthday this weekend and I sure would like a pair of jeans and a pair of tennis shoes. So I said, well, let's go to one of the local clothery things and let me take care of that for you. All right, he didn't have to do or to say anything to me. I just took him and I bought it for him. And bought him a couple of t-shirts. And he said, what do I have to give you for this? I said, absolutely nothing. I love you for who you are. I love you for who you're going to be. I love you because there's coming a day in this city, Los Angeles, when you're going to be able to purchase your own stuff and you won't be living with all those females in the apartment because he was the only male in an apartment that had about six females living there. And he was amongst them. And I said, you need to get out of that environment and you need to break away from that. And you need to spend more time with me. So I'll come by and pick you up. I said, you over, what, you 20 years old, you legal. I can pick you up. Hang out with me. That's when I had the Lexus, the convertible. I mean, we had great times together. Those are just two examples of many examples that I had like this Jonathan-David relationship. Now, and I only strive to help men that require that help and want to do the best they can do in their lives. Now, let's take this disposition and let's use it in light of the racial tensions that is confronting our nation today. Would this type of Jonathan and David thing work? How about between Biden and Trump? Okay, the true two progenitors of strife in this nation. That's right, because Biden has said some stupid things and Trump has said more stupid things than he has. What kind of men are there that's going to promote a kind of putting down our weaponry of war and to get us to love each other on the front lines? When I look in the news and I see examples of our citizens hardcore coming at each other, this is what I am asking each of us to do. And I don't think that's asking too much. It can only be curbed. And you know what? When I speak about this with men today, to men about this today, I run into roadblocks because men don't want to be held to a standard that would make them look weird. Oh, well, man, well, what does that mean, man? I had one guy, man, I don't want to be all up in some dude's face. No, you don't have to be all up in his face, but you're going to find yourself overriding in his space. Let me give you an example about that. I recall when all the restaurants were open and one could go to a bar and get a drink and a sandwich whenever you want. And when you're at these bars, do you guys remember it was the way that we used to live? We used to go to those places and you're sitting down there and this brother would come and sit. Many a times it happened to me. I'm sitting at the bar and brother, hey man, what's happening? Hey man, how you doing? All right. And then he'd say, so what you think about Kobe? I said, oh, I think he's one of the, he's the most talented basketball player that I've ever seen in my life. And very articulate, educated, speaks a number of languages, knows the art and the sport well. Well, when you compare him to Michael Jordan, I said, I've never watched Michael Jordan. I'm not concerned about him. I'm attracted to watching Kobe. Why? Because I'm from Los Angeles. Why? Because I've seen him play in the sports arena, not the sports arena, but the Staples Center. I was there at one of the famous games when he made a shot that no one could make, and he made it, and people in the stadium started hollering to the top of their voices, and it was I was there, people. I'm telling you, I was there. Remember those days? I was looking in the guy's eyes and he was looking in mine. And we were having a conversation. In most cases, because I was older, he was a younger man. And he asked me what I did. I told him what I did. I asked him what he did. He told me what he did. We exchanged telephone numbers because we enjoyed speaking with each other at lunch, having a beer and a sandwich at the bar. What's wrong with that? I didn't think, well, what are people going to think if we talking and laughing? I recall, man, this guy, I'll just call him Brown. He and I, we found this new eatery in the Baldwin Hills area. And we went to that little place, man. We would go there about every other Friday night and have a cocktail and a nice little dish. That's before I had my open heart surgery. And it was a beautiful place. I think that restaurant went under because during these difficult times, it could not sustain itself, and it went under. You know what? That is just the way things are. Now, we are living in perilous times. Very difficult for men to make it, but why can't we love like that? Why can't we love like 1 and 2 Samuel says? Why can't we allow that to take? That's the only thing that's going to stop this mayhem in our community. Now, you may be thinking that putting Biden in is going to, hey, don't even talk to me about voting. Please don't. I mean, it's your constitutional right to do it, and you need a lot of people to vote. But listen, let me say this. You'd better check the facts of some of these people that's being shot by the police. All the facts. Because once we become a nation, I want you to hear me. Then I'll play my number that I've been trying to play for you all day. Once you come to it, you will be able to do some midnight traveling on your own. And because I'm going to let David Benoit take me out here. And as he takes me home, I'll be able to end this webcast right here. So that's all I'm going to say. I hope that you took those verses within the context in which they were given. There's a lot of controversy. A lot of people think that David and Jonathan had a sexual relationship. If they did, that's between them and God. If you love somebody like that more than the love of a woman, you know what that meant? It was not based upon that. It was based upon everything that made them friends, everything that made their world work. I believe that those days are still here and that we can, it's called Drive Time. And that's the one that I want to play by David Benoit. I'm going to end up. This is from an album, The Best of David Benoit, from 1987 to 1995. Now, he's done some work since then, but I'm going to play Drive Time right now because I think you would want to hear this David Benoit. As a matter of fact, if you want to hear him live, if you're in L.A., no, you can hear him on kjazz.com. He plays jazz every morning. Drive Time. Thank you. that's the day we've been won. I want to thank you for coming by my website today and listening to what I have to say. If you find this to be an interesting subject matter, I ask you to spend more time with me as you come by this website. This is PJ, your internet kind of a pastor, and giving you some Bible advice. And you know, they got advice for women too. Yeah, it doesn't matter. God bless. My hour is up. That's it. You guys have a great day. Talk to you soon.